So we're going to start by thinking about, in Aliens and Strangers, about what it means to be a stranger. And I've asked a couple of people to come up and speak. I've had a point finger which one of them volunteered for the back. So Rachel and John-Paul, would you like to come on up the front? Now, this morning, actually, we are quite international in our congregation at the moment. We've got France, we've got Holland, we've got Spain. We're very international this morning. So I thought I'd ask, there's two directions here. So we've got Rachel, who went from England to another country from here, and we've got somebody who's come from another country to England. And I thought I'd ask you both a question. What was the weirdest, strangest thing that you found to adjust when you went to a different country? I'll give Rachel a moment to say, because you've had the most recent experience of this, so what's the strangest thing you found about us Brits, basically? Oh, there are lots of things, probably.
I think it's familiar for everyone, but over here, everyone put milks in everything. Everybody was shocked when I said, oh, I want to have a black coffee, even at the Costa. And then they always ask over three times, hey, you need some milk? No, I don't need milk. And then again, when I get a coffee, and the milk is over there, and also the sugar. I said, no, I don't need milk and sugar. And then your tea, yeah, it's with milk? No, it's not with milk. Oh, it's too strong. No, I said, it's only with 2 seconds. You drop the bag, and another thing is there is no string on the tea bag. So the first moment at the office, I said, oh, nice, you have coffee pads. So where can I find a coffee machine? And they said, no, it's not a coffee pad, it's a tea bag. It's a tea bag, but there is no string on the tea bag. So I was a little bit confused. And after my tea, don't milk, no, not milk. But that may be. And of course, the riding on the wrong side of the road, or the right side of the road, as you should say. But those are only two things. Sorry.
Rachel, what's been the strange when you first moved to Spain? What do you find strange, or still find strange?
Well, the only thing I can think of, really, but there probably are lots of things, but it's basically how everybody talks at once. It's been, when you're in a big group, you have to really be, you know, able to understand conversations going on at the same time, and to catch something is really, really difficult. I think it took me about maybe 10 years to be able to actually, you know, really follow a conversation in a big group, because it kind of keeps changing and really difficult. I don't know if that's really what
you're saying. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. They did that with no warning at all, so that's really good of you to come up like that. So isn't it? It is strange, isn't it? If you've been on holiday, if you've been somewhere abroad, there are always differences. Of course, most of the rest of the world, people drive on the wrong side of the road, as you've rightly pointed out. Only in this country, of course, and one or two other small parts of the world, do we drive on the correct side of the road. So often we have that major learning point when we go anywhere different. But there are many things, aren't there, that are different. In fact, you don't even need to go into a different country, but just go to different parts of the UK, you will find great differences in the way people behave. One of my favourite things is when I go down to London and I'm out running, is to smile at people. You know, if you're running on the road and you smile at people walking towards you, Londoners really can't cope with the idea of people smiling at you. You get this sort of strange look as if, what's this weird person arrived, you know, smiling at people in the street. But we're all different, and we certainly are different in different places. And we've been thinking this past week at Holiday Club about a group of people whose land was invaded, and they were taken from the land of Israel back to the land that had invaded them. And this is Daniel and his friends. And they're taken from a land that God had given them. This was a land that God had given them, but because the Israelites had behaved in a way that they shouldn't, they continued to ignore God, they continued to disobey God, God had decided to punish them by allowing another country to invade them and take them back. But there were Israelites who were still strong, firm believers in God and followers of God. And Daniel and his friends were like that. But now they got taken from a land they'd grown up in, a land that they understood, to a completely different place, where there were different people, different languages being spoken, There were strange foods that they were being introduced to that they shouldn't really eat, because they were foods that were, for the Jews, were unclean or that had been sacrificed to other gods. And the biggest thing, of course, is in this country they were taken to, there was absolutely no consideration of God. God was unimportant. God wasn't something that the people of that country considered in any way at all. And even worse, that country made laws that deliberately went against God's laws. So the people who were taken there from Israel found themselves that what they had been told by God was the way to behave and the thing that they should do, to worship God, to be the only God that they worshipped. They had been told by the laws of the land they were now living in that that wasn't what you should do, that you could be punished for worshipping God. Now, perhaps some of that might sound familiar for us here this morning. Now, we're fairly fortunate, for most of us here this morning, that we're fairly used to the language that we speak, though we obviously speak slightly different dialects at times, but we all speak English, and we largely all eat similar foods. In fact, the great thing I always think about the UK is pretty much you can eat any food that you want to eat. There's pretty much a restaurant that will serve whatever food you like. So perhaps in terms of, for these people's experience, going to a different place with different languages and food isn't something we're experiencing. But living in a place where God isn't considered does sound very familiar, isn't it? And living in a place where laws are starting to perhaps be a bit anti-God, or certainly make us feel like uncomfortable at times to be Christians, is certainly a feeling that many of us can relate to. So what does the Bible say about us being aliens and strangers in this world? And somebody has got Hebrews 11 verses 13 to 16. Who's got Hebrews 11? There we go.
These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
Thank you. So there we go, a passage which speaks about the early people of God. This is the early Jews, the people who God had called in the first place, and said that they realised from a very early stage that they were aliens and strangers in this world. Somebody else has got 1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 12.
Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
So there again we can see people of God being treated as strangers, exiles. Now, in some cases, some of these early Christians were. They'd been forced out of the country that they lived in, into the countries round about. But also, they just felt like foreigners. They felt like exiles because the people they lived amongst didn't get them. And in fact, the people they lived amongst accused them of doing wrong, even while actually they were doing good. The whole thing just got completely mixed up. And they felt completely not in place. Somebody else has got John 15, verses 18 to 19.
If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Thank you. So there we go again. That we're actually described here as actually not being of this world at all. As Christians this morning, the reason that we find that we don't quite fit, that sometimes we just don't seem to fit into this world in which we live, is because we're not of this world anymore. We've been changed. We've been called to be like Jesus. And Jesus was not of this world, and he was not liked by the people of this world. In fact, it goes as strong as to use that word, he was hated by the people of this world. And if we are followers of him, we can expect to be treated in the same way. So this morning, as Christians, it shouldn't be as any surprise if we feel like aliens and strangers. We should feel like a bit uncomfortable. Things don't seem quite right for us living here. Just in the same way as people who've gone to different countries to live find that things aren't quite right, that people have an obsession with putting milk in everything, or that they all talk at once and you can't understand a single bit of the conversation, then in the same way, when we are aliens and strangers in this world because we're followers of Christ, then we can expect that things will feel a little bit strange, that things will be a bit different. So if we are aliens and strangers in this world, of course there's a follow-on question. Everybody actually has, originally, a home that they do feel comfortable in, somewhere that actually things seem normal and the way that things should be. And so where is our home? Somebody got Philippians 3, verse 20.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Thank you. So there's the message in this. This is why we feel like an alien and stranger, is because actually our home isn't this world, but is the home in heaven. We look forward to one day going to a heaven where we'll be transformed, we'll be like Christ, and we will be in a place that feels like home. So when we're going out and about in our day-to-day life and things feel out of sorts and strange, we can know that it's not forever. We have somewhere to look forward to, a home in heaven. And it's a great place where there's no longer any separation. We'll be with our Christian brothers and sisters, past, present and future, and neither death nor distance will separate us. We'll be able to be with our Christian friends and family, brothers and sisters all across the world. We'll be able to share fellowship. I'm sure it'll actually be a bit like Rachel's describing in Spain, when everybody's talking all over each other. There'll be so much that we want to catch up on, won't there? The news of different people and so many people of faith that I'm desperate to go and talk to from times past. And I know there'll be people yet to come who will be great people that would love to hear their stories about how Christ has worked in their lives. There'll be people who've moved away, and that we'll be able to catch up with them again. There'll be no longer any separation. Isn't that a wonderful home to look forward to for the future? So there we go. There's the start of our thinking this morning. We are strangers in this world. We don't quite fit in. That is because actually our home isn't this world. We have a home in heaven to look forward to. So we thought about being strangers. Now, I don't know about you, for those of you who can remember your school days, for those of you who are at school, if you were slightly strange and slightly odd, now this is an easy thing for me to relate to because I was definitely slightly strange and slightly odd when at school. In fact, many would argue that I still am slightly strange and slightly odd. And what you tend to do, therefore, at school was to keep your head down, didn't you? If you were, tend to be laughed at a bit or found slightly strange, and you tend to keep quiet and not stand out as little as possible, because all you would do by doing so, if you stood out and made yourself noticeable, would get even more laughing and jokes made about you. So you'd think, if we're aliens and strangers in this world, that God would say, well, it's okay, you're strange in this world, you're going to find it a bit uncomfortable, people are going to find you a bit odd, so just keep your head down, live out the life here on earth, and that'll be it. And then you can look forward to heaven. But if you were hoping that was what God had in mind, I'm afraid God had a slightly different plan for us as aliens and strangers. Somebody has got Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing
baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
So there we go. Despite being aliens and strangers, we're not told to keep our heads down and to keep quiet, but we're told to go out and to tell the world why we're aliens and strangers, and to encourage them, basically, to become aliens and strangers too. We're to encourage the world to become disciples of Christ. So we're asked to do three things in this passage. We're asked to make disciples. We're asked to baptise. And we're asked to teach. So we're asked to make disciples. This isn't just telling somebody, you know, in 30 seconds and then disappearing off the scene. Discipleship, making somebody a disciple, is being there for the long haul, isn't it? Many of us perhaps think, oh, well, we'll leave this type of work for the person who's preaching at the front of church, or the evangelist who's doing open air work. But actually, discipleship is a long-term process. And that means it's about us getting alongside the friends, the people that we meet at work, the people that we meet at school, those people that we know, and for the long term, encouraging them to get to know Jesus, to get to know Christ, to get to know what it means to live as a Christian. God's calling us not to just have a quick 30-second conversation, but to encourage people into a lifelong walk with Christ. We're encouraged to make disciples. And we're encouraged to baptise them. And if you think about the whole element of what that means, to baptise them into the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, we're encouraged to bring them into God's family, to make them a part of God's body, both in physical baptism, to encourage them to be physically baptised, as it happens underneath the stage where I'm standing right now, but also that baptism into God's body, with His Spirit inside us, to encourage people to become a part of God's body. Our work is to go out there and do that. And we're encouraged to teach as well. Teach to obey. That means two things. As teachers, one hopes of all teachers that they really know what they're teaching, don't they? I'm looking at one or two of the teachers here and I'm getting slightly smirking looks, but as teachers, on the whole, most teachers I had teaching of, I think there were probably one or two exceptions, but they knew their subject, and by knowing their subject, they could then teach that subject. And in the same way, therefore, there's two things for us. If we are to be teachers, as Christ has called us to be, that means, first of all, we've got to know God's word. We've got to know God really, really well for ourselves. And out of that knowledge, out of that understanding, we can go on to teach those that we meet what it means to be a Christian, what it means to obey Christ. We can pass that message on. We can only be teachers, though, if we've first of all taken the time to really understand it for ourselves. So, we're strangers. We're at the moment living in a world that's not quite ours. We're looking forward to a world that one day we will be able to enjoy being in with Christ forever. And while we're on this world, where we are strangers, we're told not to just keep our heads down, but to shout out about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He is, to share that message. Now, you're probably thinking, well, that sounds a pretty tough ask. It doesn't sound fun being a stranger, and especially to be a stranger who's out there speaking out for the country that they're going to. But there's a really good bit of news in the last bit of that passage that we've just had read. And it says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that some really good news to finish with? When we go out there, out of these doors, and we start to feel that strangeness, when we meet somebody and we're sharing the gospel with them, we don't have to do it on our own. We are strangers, but Jesus is with us. He's promised to be with us always, to the very end of the age. When people are perhaps going away from here, as we've been thinking about this morning, they're not going on their own. They're going with Jesus, with them. In that song that we sang, the best thing that we can pray for people when they're going to different places is that they would know God is with them. And each of us, as we leave here this morning, can know that God is with us. So I would encourage you this morning, take this as a message of encouragement. Don't worry that you feel slightly at odds with the world so often in the week ahead. Don't worry when people find you slightly strange because of what you believe. Do go out there and share the gospel, but do it all knowing that Christ is with you. Whether you're 4 years old, 40 years old, 80 years old, 100 years old, it doesn't matter what age you are, what background you have, Christ is with you every step of the way.